Next up on the Breakfast Club, we have one of our favorite pathfinders, Mr. Jan Lambre from South Africa. He has the site historyreview.com and also africancrisis.info, and is just doing some really good work keeping us up to date with what's going on in South Africa. So with no further ado, Mr. Jan Lambre, welcome back to the Breakfast Club, good sir.
Hi there, Frederick. Thank you so much for having me on your show again. I really appreciate
it. Happy Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, what is the latest in South Africa?
Yeah, the latest in South Africa. The really big thing that's been happening recently has been power outages. We had the beginning of really bad stuff. We had last week, I hadn't had power outages for a long time. I'm in Johannesburg. Last week, from Monday to Thursday, they were knocking us off 4.5 hours at a time. And they've actually got a schedule. When they are short of power, they call it load shedding. And it's basically rolling blackouts, and they start switching off big areas. So they'll switch off like a couple of suburbs at a time. But they'll be doing it across the country. And when there's load shedding, they have four stages. They've got stage 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 4 is the worst stage. And they're supposed to, then every day, literally by the hour, they decide, you know, where are they being overloaded on, and then they start switching things off. So they have these schedules that tell you for your suburb that if you're in stage 2, you can expect to be switched off at this time and that time. And it started like that, I think, on the Monday and the Tuesday. And then after that, there was no more schedule. They were just switching us off during the day at any time. And I've got solar power. So I've got my own solar power setup that I've put up myself. I've done quite a few off-the-grid things. So I'm actually quite okay. The only thing that complicated it for me, and I think this may have actually played a role in the whole thing, was that we had extremely heavy cloud and rain through the entire week, which is very, very unusual for us. We don't get much rain. And we have lots of sunshine in between the rain. But last week, every day, it was full-on cloud and raining every day. And there are lots of buildings here in Johannesburg. There are lots of buildings that people have been converting to solar power. In fact, when they build buildings these days, they actually have roofs with solar power, solar panels on them. And there are even some places, some businesses, where they've taken the entire car park and they've turned it into having solar panels. And so I'm actually thinking that one of the reasons why we had so many power problems was because there are lots and lots of buildings where people were able to use solar power, but the problem was because of the rain that nobody could use solar power. So I think that played a little bit into this thing. But the bottom line is that we were operating on only 60% of our total electrical capacity in the country. 40% of our electricity was down. And it gets even creepier because the original time when our electricity supply started collapsing was in 2008. In 2008, all of a sudden, we suddenly started having big outages. And there were people who'd warned us about this. And in 2008, that was when I went and bought myself a generator so that I could function. And 2008 was so scary that quite a lot of people, including friends of mine, just sold their houses, packed their bags, and got out of the country. So then the blacks said that they are going to spend enormous sums of money building new power stations. And the other thing was, when power stations were being built by the whites under white rule, the power stations were costing maybe like 10 billion rand, you know, let's say a billion US dollars, say. Then, but now the blacks were coming and they were like saying, no, power station's going to cost 60 billion rand. So the first question was, how come it used to cost like 10 or 15 or whatever billion, and now it's 60 billion? And the blacks came up with all their bullshit of why it was working that way. The truth of the matter was that the blacks were lining their pockets as usual. In all these big deals that the blacks do, the government people are busy taking 20% cuts on every contract. Every person involved, every black government official involved in the process is busy pushing up the price. So that is how you get from 10 billion to 60 billion. But it gets it gets even crazier, because then they started building these power stations. Okay, so they said, no problem, you see, we need to spend all this money because we're going to solve the problem for once and for all. Nonsense and bullshit, of course. So they apparently, I think the Japanese were also part of the contract. I'm not sure if it was Hitachi. So they were also part of this, and they now built these power stations. And we were told, well, there's going to be load shedding for a couple of years, but as these power stations come up, we'll make sure that we never fall behind again. And we'd fallen behind because of black rule and the blacks. It was actually the blacks who decided not to spend money on the power stations, on infrastructure, because they needed to spend money on the blacks, and the blacks themselves are a freaking bottomless pit. So that was how we got to have the first crash, you see. So as the years went by, it got a little bit better. But then as they built some of these power stations, at one point I even saw photographs, which I can't get anymore. There were actually photographs of how some of the parts of these new power stations had collapsed. Like the tower physically collapsed. In fact, I must remember something else to tell you, just quickly before I forget. Some of the stuff physically fell apart, okay? They'd spent enormous amounts of money on this stuff, and now some of it was like physically collapsing and crashing. Anyway, so it seemed as though things were a bit better, but nowadays they reveal that we were then already only operating at 79% of our full capacity. And north of Pretoria, I've visited friends north of Pretoria. North of Pretoria is an entire power station that was built perhaps in the time of white rule. I think it's called a Rooival. And this power station, you drive past it, it's a full-on freaking power station that's been standing there. And can you believe that power station has not operated in 8 years? And people who live there tell me, so I say to them, so why hasn't it operated? They tell me every year the blacks have got some freaking excuse why this power station is not functioning. So we've got power stations that should be running that aren't running. We've got new power stations that were built brand new at enormous expense, and that stuff's also got problems. So now when the load shedding and stuff hit, then suddenly newspaper articles were coming out. Now they were saying, well, they blame the Japanese. Can you believe the blacks, these loser blacks, are blaming the Japanese? The Japanese, if anybody knows how to build stuff, it's Germans and Japanese, right? Can you believe these useless black fools are blaming the Japanese? But it turns out that there's other deals and things that were going on, and they were, I'll bet you that the real reason is not the Japanese. It's got to do with the stuff the blacks told them to do. Anyway, they now come out and they say, well, among the problems is that they are getting substandard coal. The coal has got rocks inside of it. The rocks explode and the rocks cause damage to the stuff. So now the power, the electrical power generators are not able to function properly because there are explosions and the furnaces get damaged. Man, there were other problems as well. There was a whole bunch of stuff that they were coming and talking about where white experts were now getting in and they're saying, well, this is a problem, that's a problem. That these brand new stations have got lots of additional maintenance problems because of substandard coal, because of other design flaws, all kinds of stuff. So the bottom line is that after spending 60 billion rand building a whole bunch of new power stations, we actually are in a situation where we're down to only 60% of our actual power generation capacity. One thing I'll tell you, while I was doing my research in January for other stuff that I was preparing, I was looking into nuclear stuff and nuclear power, and we've got one nuclear power station in South Africa called Coburg, which was built by the French, and that is where our nuclear power comes from, electricity generated by nuclear means. And when I was looking through the stuff of Coburg, Coburg came online in 1984, and to my amazement, I found charts that show that Coburg has been increasing its power output all the time from 1984 right up to the present day. The nuclear power station built by the French and probably mostly run by whites is the thing that is actually generating more and more power every year as time goes by. So that shows you, but all these other power stations, coal power, we've got tons of coal. South Africa's got a supply of coal that can last 200 years. We've got enormous amounts of coal. We even make fuel out of coal using German technology. And we never had a problem with substandard coal and with cooling mechanisms not working and everything. But this is the kind of stuff that's come out now. So we are down to 60% of the actual capacity that we should have. And all kinds of white experts who've gone and dug into this, they've seen there's huge problems. They've talked about all kinds of problems now. So we spent 60 billion and we've ended up with substandard output. And I will bet you that there's no ways in hell that it's the Japanese that caused the problem. It is the blacks who were probably telling the Japanese, probably cutting costs, rejecting designs, that kind of thing. I'll bet you that that is what it boiled down to.
Going to add in there, one of the reports on this rolling blackouts problems in South Africa was that before the ANC government took control, the only time you had a full blackout in South Africa's power grid was one time in, I think, 1947 or some such. And just, you know, South Africa used to be one of the best run electrical grids in the world for its efficiency and reliability. And the article was about that before the ANC government, there was just this one power outage, and it was, you know, it went on to explain why it happened, and you know, it never happened again. And then another article somebody sent me this week was that thousands of white engineers in the electrical industry there are being laid off to make room for diversity quotas. So have you seen anything about these big layoffs of the white engineers from the power systems?
Yes, that you mentioned something that I've forgotten now. You're quite right. They had said that they'd been laying off whites. So, and I think that they were looking at laying off thousands of people. And so it's very possible that the actual outage is more to do with the laying off of whites as well, over and above the other things. Because whites have been driven out of everything that's big. Whites are being driven out of government. Whites are being driven out of... You see, in South Africa, the way the Afrikaans people ran things is they created these parastatal organizations. So POWER, for example, is run as a parastatal organization. There's a single one for it. There was a single one for telephones and communication. There was also a single railway parastatal. And same with TV. Now, all those big organizations have all been falling apart. They've all been falling apart. Our railway system has fallen down massively. These things used to be extremely well run. Now, in terms of that outage in 1947, I think what probably happened there is it sounds like you're talking about the grid collapsing. Because I just need to explain to you about the grid collapsing. You see... If the grid collapses, if the whole grid collapses, they reckon that to start the grid up can take anything from 6 weeks to 6 months to start up the grid. That is why they do the load shedding, because they shed the load so that the grid as a whole does not implode. Because when the grid collapses, the entire country is going to have a blackout, and the blackout will be minimum weeks, if not months. Everything will come to a grinding halt. Now, in the time of white rule, we used to have like a few small power outages. We'd go like, let's say, 2 years, and we might lose like an hour or half, maybe have a 1 hour outage once in 2 years. And then we'd complain about it. Now when these things hit, they knock you out 4.5 hours at a time, and they hit you at peak time during the day when businesses and things need power. So
and that becomes the new normal. That's the normalization.
Yes.
Third now, world infrastructure. I remember when I was doing a lot of work in second world countries and such. You know, that was just part of the engineering requirements for telecommunications. It's you have to have a generator on the roof because the power grid is so unstable. And that was just the way you had designed things in those kind of countries. And it's so infuriating to see South Africa fall back into that kind of model engineering versus being this flagship model of what a first world country's power grid should be, you know, at that 99.999% reliability, the five nines, like with the telecommunications grids. Another thing that people have been sending me about is all of the illegal electrical theft on these grid points where people are stealing the electricity, and it's knocking the system out of balance because of all the impedance mismatches, because people are just tapping in and it's not engineered, and so that overwhelms the transformers, etc., and the relay stations into an unbalanced situation, and that, you know, you start having your capacitors blow up, your transformers blow up, etc. So that theft seems to be a big problem there as well. Is that what you're seeing?
Okay, you see, you are mentioning things that to you are extraordinary, but for us it's been the normal for a very long time. So to give you an example, if you go to any township, the blacks illegally connect up electricity and I think even telephones. They hook stuff onto the lines directly. Sometimes they even get killed in doing it. This has been going on for a long, long time. And in the townships especially, it's very bad. I've been there. I've seen it. You just see all these wires going in. They're just hooking up to it and off they go. And nobody can control it. Nobody even tries to stop it. And another thing that also happens is there's lots of cable theft. The blacks also engage in cable theft. And you're quite right in that because you have a, let's call it a first level problem, you now need a backup solution to it. And that just adds to the costs and to the inefficiencies. Now, one of the things you need to understand is that since 2008, businesses as well as private people have been spending money either on solar or generators. Most businesses and even entire shopping centers have got generators that immediately kick in the moment the power goes out. So the private sector has been spending enormous sums of money. Nobody, to my knowledge, nobody has quantified it, but people have been spending enormous sums of money on alternatives for when the power goes out. And like I say, I've seen buildings where the entire roof is just solar panels. So you must know that this new normal, that large amounts of money have been spent by the whites and by business to already make businesses function with less electricity. And yet, even with us taking lots of load off the system is still collapsing. And that's the thing where we're heading to. And everything these blacks are touching is basically going in that direction. Something that I saw yesterday that's totally new to me is I saw a newspaper headline that 5%, I think only 5%, I'll need to go and double check, but I think only 5% of the bridges on the roads and the highways, only 5% of the bridges in Johannesburg are safe. They've now shut down an entire highway because they need to fix these things. So apparently these bridges, the road bridges on the highways and flyovers, apparently these things are also about to collapse. And I will tell you. So that's just some of the stuff. And I mean, everything else that, you know, everything that you come across, there's all kinds of problems. Another thing I came across when I was busy going to various places and I needed to buy certain things or sort certain things out, at one point I had to phone the telephone company. I needed something, and they told me that they couldn't help me because their computer system is down. Then I went to a bank. There were two banks I went to for some stuff, and at each bank, they had problems with computer systems being down. And this is a thing I'm coming across a lot more in all sorts of places, whether it's big business or whether it's government related, you constantly hear this thing, the computer systems are down. And I have wondered whether that is also not due to firing of whites, driving whites out over the years, because it happened to me, it happened to lots of people, and I'm hearing computer systems down all the time. Oh, we'd like to help you, but we need this and this because the system can't do it. So even at the post office, their computer systems were down at one point for paying our post boxes. There was a time where for a year I didn't have to pay for my post box because they lost the entire database. So, yeah.
So what is the current feeling of the white community in South Africa at this obvious collapse from the ANC government? Is there a pushback, or what do you see happening, playing out, or is it going to continue to degrade, or is there a movement to push back against this failed ANC experiment?
Well, this is where that military intelligence analysis that I put out is very interesting. What I will say generally the whites just get irritated. They get irritated with electricity like they get irritated with crime. They are sick and tired of the police not functioning. They are sick and tired of paying for things. Actually, you pay bills and then you don't get what you're paying for. And the government's supposed to fix it, and the government doesn't fix it. And that is irritating lots of people. But I think in the last 8 years, the perception has grown that whites have realized that with electricity, like with security and policing, you need to pay somebody else. You need to start spending your own money in order to do something, because this whole system is just going to get worse. And I think the outages of this year, the outages of the last few weeks, will give a really big impetus to even more whites to spend more money on getting off the grid, getting alternatives going, because they are reaching the realization. You see, there had been the hope that if we spend all this money on these new power stations, that now the problem will be fixed. But it's turned out that the fix wasn't a good enough fix. So I think people now have realized that, I think the big realization has set in that, like with security and crime, we're just going to have to find our own ways around it. And even in my neighborhood, I'd noticed in recent years, for the first time in my neighborhood, I noticed a whole bunch of people getting generators, and a few had solar power. Because for years and years, the people resisted spending money on those things. And then I saw, no, they've just gone out and they've just spent the money. You can see when the power is out, you see those five or six houses have got power. In my street, it used to be just myself and one other woman. We were the only people in the whole street who had our own power when power went out. But now there's much more of that. You can see that people have gotten into that. So,
well, that's getting back to that whole, you know, original pioneer, explorer, independent movement of the people who settled South Africa. It's just, you know, you have to be self-sufficient, especially when your infrastructure has been taken away from you. What is the latest on the property grabs, the land grabs without compensation that has been really blocked in Western media? Is that moving forward? Has there been a pushback against that?
I haven't seen any new news on it. The last I heard was that in March, they were going to start grabbing the farms. That's what I heard. And I need to actually touch base with people who are closer to that to find out what happens. So I'm expecting that early in March. So
that's when the vote is, right?
No, the vote, I think, is going to be in May. Okay. So they're going to seize the land. They're going to start seizing the land in March. But I need to get some updates from people on what exactly the status is. I will tell you what I have seen in the newspaper. Yesterday, this irritated me so much. I went and got a newspaper, and it was the Citizen newspaper. It was an example of a conservative newspaper. Long ago, the Citizen newspaper used to be a conservative newspaper. Now it's run by Indians. It's liberal. It's just churns out the same junk as the others. I got it because they were talking about, the real reason land reform doesn't work. So I was like, oh, okay, they're going to now tell us the real reason land seizures don't work. So I went and I got the newspaper, and I could have spat blood, because what they were saying was the blacks who get the farms, they say that they don't get enough government help. They don't get enough money from the government. Now, let me just put this in its perspective. When the ANC went and they got more than 4,000 farms from the whites, they went and they paid for them. They had a budget. They had a budget of, I think it was something like 82 billion rand. And this was now in about 1996. They went and they paid the farmers market value for their farms. And there were farmers, for example, who got paid the money, and then they just went and bought another farm. And some of the farmers, because some farmers have either been killed or left the country, what has happened is we've got physically less farmers. But some of those farmers now actually own more farms than they used to own. So when they were bought out, the guy would just take the money and then he'd just go and buy another farm down the road. And I actually even was at a farm where a farmer who'd had his farm bought from him, and the blacks were living there. I went there in April last year, and the blacks were living there. The blacks were not doing anything on the farm. They just go and live there. Okay, they just live there and they do nothing. They maybe plant a few vegetables for themselves, and they live in the houses that the farmer had built for the farm workers. So what happens is that these blacks do nothing on this land. But the farmer that they bought the property from, he's now bought another farm just down the road. And the white farmer has come back and he rents part of his old farm. So he rents part of his old farm, he plants crops there, and he pays the blacks rent for part of his old farm. And so the only things that are growing in that entire area are the things that are planted by the farmer who used to own the farm. And he's rocking on his new farm. So that's how these things have been going. It's a total shambles. But what I wanted to mention to you is that when the blacks took the farms in South Africa, they had enormous amounts of money to buy stuff. So when they went to buy farms, they didn't just buy any old farm. They actually went and bought the best farms. They bought farms that were top notch. They bought farms that were like freaking enormous businesses. Some of the farms that they bought, some of them were among the best of their kind in the world. These things were worth hundreds of millions of rands. I came across a single farm years ago when I was doing work on African crisis. A single farm worth 100 million rand, which probably would have been worth like 12 million US dollars in your money. And this farm had been totally shattered by the blacks. So they hand it over to the workers and they say, okay, here's the farm. Everything is in running order. When they buy the farm, they buy everything. They buy the land, they buy the tractors, they buy the animals, they buy everything. So the blacks get everything in running condition. And then as the years go by, the blacks totally just screw the whole thing up. The whole thing just falls apart and it doesn't function. So it's not like the blacks got land that they now, you know, let's say it's not the way that it was for the whites. You know, when the whites became farmers, the whites had to come originally and they had to chop down the trees.
Exactly, clear it off and scratch.
Absolutely, right? It's a whole process before the whites can get going. The blacks have never had that problem. The blacks instead got running stuff, and they got some of the finest, computerized, best engineered, top-notch stuff, and they still ran it into the ground. And I think that is why, do you know the government, out of the farms that it took, I don't know exactly how many it took, whether it took like 5,000 or whatever, but do you know that the government still has 4,000 farms in its possession, which I think is the vast majority of them? So I think what has happened is that the government has been careful to dish out these farms because it knows that they're being screwed up. So it's actually like held the land back. So it's very weird. The government, the black government, is sitting with 4,000 farms that they can still distribute to the blacks. And they made a big, they said that they are going to immediately start distributing some of that land. They said that a few months ago, and I've not heard a word about it since. So what they've distributed, if they've distributed it, I don't know. But, you know, the whole thing is, it's ridiculous when the blacks say that they didn't get enough money from the government. The blacks are so inefficient that you'll find that you'll find that they're so inefficient that any business and any organization they run, after a time they come back and they say, we need more money. And by the way, Eskom is also, they say it's on the edge of bankruptcy, I think, the electricity supply. It's on the edge of bankruptcy. They already have loans. I think they've got loans to the tune possibly of hundreds of millions of rands. And even that's not enough now. So I did hear that there was a bailout. There might be a bailout yet again. And they're sitting with huge debts. This is where it's really cool. You know, go and borrow money from the Jews and the liberals, and now the blacks are struggling to pay it back, okay? And the interest is still there. And before I forget, our airline, South African Airways, that also used to be a parastatal, that is also bankrupt, I think, yet again. I think it's already been bankrupt before, and it is already currently in big trouble again. So all the big things that the Boers ran, all those things are falling apart. But the good news is that the liberal Jewish big business, what they call monopoly capital businesses, the banks and all these big organizations, they are also sliding down very nicely. Because I heard that the blacks, about two to three years ago, I already heard that the blacks were busy driving whites out of the banks aggressively. And maybe that is the reason why you hear, our computer systems are down, our computer systems are down.
Real quickly, in the few minutes we have left, talk a little bit more about the military analysis you've been working on and what you're seeing as possible scenarios.
Okay, I managed to make contact with a guy who was our top guy in military intelligence, and he writes some analyses for private, for certain customers. And I originally saw his first analyses back in 2006, but I'd lost touch with him because I used to get it through my mentor, Dr. Chris Jordan. Anyway, I was about to go and pull out the 2006 predictions, because the 2006 predictions are actually still valid. He had predicted then already that all government-related stuff would implode, and that actually business would function better than businesses would be functioning much better than government. He predicted that in 2006. So I managed to get hold of him, and he sent me his November 2018 analysis. And in there, he was talking about the country. He was talking about what he called the slow decay. He called it the slow functional decay. And he said it's very slow and you can't see it, and it's not obvious, but slowly things are going wrong, but it's not physically visible. And he said you get to a point where you get collapse, where you get functional collapse now. And suddenly, out of the blue, things just suddenly stop working. And he said that we are now entering that period. He said that we are in such a bad state now that the government has got a maximum of 3 years in which to try to stop the government's functionality, in order to recover the government's functionality. He attributed the functional decay and the coming collapse to them driving whites out of government and all government-related stuff. And he basically said that we will be entering a period where it could be that government power collapses in all sorts of areas. You know, so what you're seeing in electricity is just one of the areas. It could now happen in everything else. One thing nobody's spoken about is hospitals, but maybe all the government hospitals and things will start collapsing, and the roads and all these things. So he's talking about like total dysfunctionality. And I think this is a great time for whites to start moving into their own small businesses. Lots of whites, huge numbers are being driven out of their jobs, and they're working from home, and they are doing little one-man businesses and so forth. And he was actually so positive that he basically said in his analysis that the human capital, in other words, our intelligence and our skills, has been removed from all these organizations, and that's why it's collapsing. He basically said that the only group of people in this country who can save this country are the whites. He said, we are the only ones with the human capital who can save it. He said that because we're on the internet and we have a diaspora, we are now part of a global community, the whites, and we have become functional on that scale where we can run our own business and we can communicate with people outside the country and operate by ourselves. He sees us as being in a great position. He says that he was so positive that he said he had a section where he spoke about repositioning the whites, where he basically said that the deal that the whites and blacks had struck in 1994, that it's time to renegotiate the deal and get the whites a much better deal. And that was how positive he was. So he sees whites as being the only remaining functional thing in the country, and the government and government-related stuff collapsing. Now, I've said to people that government and government-related stuff collapsing is a very, very good thing. It's a very good thing because it's better. I would much rather that the government stuff collapses because it means that they can come and interfere with us less. And I actually like the idea of governmental collapse. My only concern is whether the United States and big business and jury will try to come and bail the blacks out again. And I must say, it looks like things are so bad that I think even the Jews and even the internationalists are struggling with the blacks. I think because the blacks have got loans up to their eyeballs, our government has just been loaning more and more money, and the debt everywhere is just getting bigger and bigger, and they can't even service the debt. So I like the notion of structural collapse. I actually look forward to it, and I've told people I think it's an excellent thing. I think we must continue. We must build up our unity. We must deal more with each other. We must work together as a team. I think it is the most fantastic opportunity. We will never get anything like this again. Let us sail on and see what we can do to save ourselves and work among ourselves. And we must stop. We must stop saving the blacks. We must stop saving the government. We should even one day stop our people going and getting contracts to go and be consultants to tell them what's wrong. We should actually stop this nonsense. We must leave things to implode. It is much better. And we can just as well look after ourselves. So I see it as very positive. And this guy was seeing whites as being in a good position. He said that whites can either be the only people who can save the country, or whites could actually play a negative, destructive role. And I'm all for that. I do not believe we must bail these blacks out. I do not believe we must assist any of them. The liberals, the blacks, the Jews, they've knifed us all in the back. They've destroyed us. They've driven us out of jobs by the hundreds of thousands, if not the millions. I reckon we must rather stick to small business. And I would go so far as to say that the way things are, it could easily be that 10 years from now, you will see that Afrikaans, that white and especially Afrikaans small business and medium businesses are absolutely rocking and rolling, and they'll be the only functional part left of this country. For me, I hope it collapses. The more it collapses, the better. I'm already pretty much off the grid. If it wasn't for the rain, I wouldn't even have batted an eyelid. I run off solar power every day. I've even organized some of my own water. People who've seen it said to me, man, you're almost off the grid. And I did everything myself. And one of the things that I'm going to be engaging in is there's one of my friends who said that he wants to organize talks where I lecture people. And I did a lot of research earlier in January for a very special talk. And now there are some people saying that I should come to the USA. If the trip to the USA in April pans out, then I will give that lecture in the USA as well. I want people to hear it. You're going to hear stuff you've never heard before. It's going to be a talk about the struggle of the whites of Southern Africa since 1961. And you're going to hear stuff you've never heard before in your life. And among the things that I'm working on is the guy, my pal said to me, he wants me to do a talk about off the grid because lots and lots of people are now really bothered and they don't have much money and they need to know how to spend their money. And because I've done things practically, he wants me to do that. And I'm also going to be working on a lecture aimed at white men and boys. And it's going to be about the greatest military leaders of the Western world. And I said to my Afrikaans friend that lecture will remove every ounce of liberalism from their heads. They will never again, no man and boy will ever consider any liberal concept ever again after they've heard that. So those are things that I've been working on.
Great. We're really looking forward to you coming to the United States with this tour in April. And so definitely keep us posted on that. And real quick, just once again, tell everybody where they can find your research.
My main website is historyreviewed.com, and the other one is africancrisis.info. And you can also find me on Gab. And if you hunt around enough, you'll even find me on Facebook.
And aren't you still on Twitter?
Yes, I am on Twitter, but Twitter has, they must look for history, just look for History Reviewed on Twitter, History Reviewed on Facebook. They've shadow banned me so badly that my message doesn't spread beyond my immediate audience.
Yes, I try to always forge your stuff on, and I'm also shadow banned severely, but every little bit helps, right? So,
Mr.
John Lambre of HistoryReview.com and African Crisis, and one of our Breakfast Club Pathfinders, thank you so much for coming on the show today. And any last word you would like to leave with the crew tonight?
My general feeling is that my message is going to be positive to all whites. Don't worry about things going wrong. The good news is that the Jews and the blacks, their stuff starts falling apart big time. And there's always a time when whites can turn things around. And that's what I'll be showing you in more detail.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and keep us posted.
Thank you very much, Frederick. Much appreciated.